We're here. The SEC is coming to Nashville in T-minus 3 days, 4 days. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Four's Company. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the glass. No Jake Lyman today. He decided Vanderbilt women's basketball is more important than us. One of these days, we'll get him back. But happy Lent, Nick Frazier.
Happy Lent.
As the two Catholics on this station, we have to stick together.
Indeed.
What'd you give up for Lent?
I gave up some stuff. First thing I gave up on the agenda was just a bad diet. I'm stopping the fast food thing.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I'm down to a solid 170.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So I cut out fast food. I think about, I started a little early on Lent because I wanted to get a little head start at it. So when I was out there out west in Vegas, like, you know what? I'm not going to go to In-N-Out Burger. Not going to go to those places.
I've been doing that too. I'm making it a mission to get Summer Body Connor going.
Summer bod Connor.
I am down 3 pounds as of last week.
Still progress.
I am in excruciating pain today because I back squatted 150 pounds yesterday.
Look at you.
For 12 reps for 3 sets. I am dying. I can't make it up the stairs.
Hamstrings are hurting.
Oh, the hammies are hurting. But I gave up cursing for Lent. It's been a challenge because I'm like, I need to... My language is horrible.
So the Philip Rivers cleanse is what you're doing.
Yes.
Love that.
Yes. Yes, I am. But yeah, it's been a busy week. Lent, NHL trade deadline, NFL stuff going on.
I'd say it's been a trying week for a lot of people in the Nashville area, especially for those that were big Harold Landry fans.
Yeah.
That buddy gets released, unfortunately.
It's been a trying week for us in the professional wrestling community as well.
Oh, just trying to react and just cope with the whole John Cena heel thing is crazy to me.
Speaking of reactions, you can hear a reaction by myself and my co-host, Christian Skelton, on our new podcast, Ring Knowers.
How about that?
On the Game Nashville Sports Network. We've been having a lot of fun with it. Nick Frazier, you have been cordially invited to appear on that show.
Thank you.
In the near future.
Thank you.
We'll have to set up a time. But you are cordially invited. We would be honored to have you as the first guest.
I'll have my people call your people.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
We'll work something out. With that, let's get to our headlines, Nick Frazier.
Yeah, my headline was obviously Las Vegas from last week. It kind of leaked into this week as well because it's round one of the NRL. Nashville loves here in the NRL, especially on these airwaves with me. My favorite team, the Brisbane Broncos, won 52-14.
Oh!
Beating the South Sydney, not Rabideau, excuse me, just the Sydney Roosters. Yeah, they fell off the deep end somehow. And then your favorite team, the Manly Sea Eagles,
yes,
won last night.
I know so much about them.
Yes.
I've been following intently.
Turbo Tom is
Turbo Tom.
He scored a try last night.
I love Turbo Tom.
They won.
I have a bobblehead of him.
42-28, I believe. So it's a fun NRL week one. There's some videos I'll show you on the other side of the break. It's pretty funny. But that's my big headline. Baseball's on the horizon as well for MLB. Excited about that. And yeah, that's primarily it for me. Vegas was fun. Obviously, had to get a new credit card, but that's besides the point.
We won't get into the backstory behind that.
But it's fun. Everything was fun last week into this week, and glad to be back in Nashville for sure.
There you go. Jake Wallman, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are things?
Things are good.
That's good. Good to hear.
Things are good.
What is that headline of yours?
So my headline is, it's kind of Vols related, but not really. It's more about the bigger scope of college football. Mm. Tennessee announced their spring game this week, as did a couple other SEC schools. But where my headline is centered is it's not going to be on a streaming platform. It's not going to be on regular TV. And it has me thinking how Nebraska's following the same platform where I think they are having spring practice, but they're not having a spring game.
Mm.
And it's got me thinking how many more schools are going to follow this route where they're trying to kind of put a stop to tampering and teams using their spring game film to kind of scout what they have talent-wise heading into the upcoming football season.
Yeah, I think they're canceling these spring games to try to eliminate tampering.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how you do it. I think tampering is still going to be a thing because, I mean, you watch film, you have film, these guys are going to go into, you know, even during the season, you're going to have scouts and coaches watching players on other teams and be like, let's go after that guy this offseason.
Yeah.
And it may limit it to the extent of, you know, you're not going to get as many guys out of the spring portal. But I think for these younger guys, these sophomores, freshmen, I don't think that's going to limit your tampering that much.
No, it's not. I mean, we're in that era of the NIL, and the NIL is just going to manipulate every single rule on planet Earth. I don't care what anybody says. Mm. It's creating a new, I guess, a new standard in college football, and it's leaking into the spring games and so forth. And it's unfortunate, but you know what? That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants players to make the money. Let them make the money.
It's unfortunate, especially this new rule, which I'm not going to go after Vanderbilt Athletics for. I'm not going to go after anyone for it, but Diego Pavia with this whole
exemption
JUCO thing has completely ruined sports, college sports.
It's fair.
Look at Chad Baker Mazzara for Auburn. That dude is 26.
He got, what, a fifth year now, right?
He's going on a seventh.
Well, he's got the extra year. But
he's going to take it.
Do you think he takes it?
Oh, yeah. That guy's not going pro. Why would he give up basketball and making money? He's not going pro.
He'll make more money in college basketball than he will in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, there's always the overseas option.
But you made me laugh last night when you texted us that. Can this guy please just go back to, or find a flipping burger job
joint? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
used car salesman.
I mean, come on. Like, is that all you have? He is by far my most hated player in college basketball. I'll just say that. Like, everything he does, he's one of those that he gets fouled, he throws his hands up in the air, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's like a Grayson Allen. Like, he'll trip you, he'll punch you, he'll, you know. One time he hit a three in Arkansas's face and, like, almost borderline took off his jersey right in front of him and then got teed up and act like he didn't do anything.
So, who would you compare him to as a wrestler back in the day that would always kind of
wrestler
theatrically, you know, try to get the referee to be on his side?
Oh.
It's a tough call, isn't it?
I would argue legend killer Randy Orton.
Okay.
Like in 2005.
His early 2000s.
Eddie Guerrero would be a great one. I'm trying to think of, like, over-the-top heels.
I know. I gave it to you right on the spot. Yeah, I'd put you in a tough call there.
I think legend killer Randy Orton just hated and gets results.
Yeah.
But people hate him. It's funny. My headline, I want to talk about the NHL trade deadline yesterday.
Okay. Because
that was a busy day.
It was a busy day.
Not as much for Preds fans. Kind of sell stuff. I heard Jared talking about the whole Luke Shen thing, which I'm kind of aggravated about too. Preds traded Luke Shen and Tavi Novak to the Pittsburgh Penguins for a fourth rounder. Then the Penguins flip him to Winnipeg for a second and a fourth. Know the market. But a couple of big moves outside of the Preds. Mikko Rantanen, which is wild, played for Carolina Hurricanes for about 2 seconds and then got flipped to the Dallas Stars and signs an 8-year extension for $12 million AAV.
He's not worth that.
He's not. But Dallas is building something absolutely insane.
They went from Stanley Cup, I'd say, not favorites to Stanley Cup favorites.
They might be easily. The other team that may be the favorite now, the Boston Bruins are absolutely, they wave the white flag. We'll just say that. How about them trading Brad Marchand to the Florida Panthers for a second round pick?
I mean, I get it, but he's one of your Boston guys, man. He's one of the originals.
I was talking to Christian about this because we're big hockey. Not Nick Kieser level hockey guys, but we're big hockey fans. He was like, this would be like if we traded Yossi. That's their franchise.
Yeah.
And I get David Pastrnak is probably a little bit better than Brad Marchand. Marchand's probably in the back nine of his career, but that guy has been Boston through and through for the past 10 to 12 years.
Production's still there, but like from a business aspect and from a roster construction standpoint, it was the right move.
Yeah.
If you get rid of the name and you look at just the numbers and stats in general, that was the right move.
It's weird looking at what Boston did. They traded pretty much everyone except Charlie McAvoy is still there. David Pastrnak's already still there.
He's still getting back from his injury, right?
He's still hurt. What's his name? Jeremy Swayman is still in goal. But, I mean, that core is gone. Charlie Coyle got flipped. Who got flipped to Toronto? I'm going blank on his name, but he's a star forward. Obviously, Brad Marchand.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, though, like, they've won their Stanley Cup with this group. If you think about it, you go back in time, they've won their cup.
Did they win a cup?
Yeah, I'd say like mid 2016, right? Let me
double check that. Because that was the Penguins. Penguins won back to back.
Colors, my bad.
Lightning won. The Blues beat them in 2019 in the Stanley Cup final. Panthers.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because that was Jordan Binnington.
That's right. That's right. I got my colors mixed up. Excuse me. Yeah. The President's Trophy. That was recent.
Yeah, and then they got beat by the 8-seeded Florida Panthers. Right.
It's bad juju.
Which is funny. Which is funny because what a heel turn. Brad Marchand going from the Boston Bruins to the team that beat him. Speaking of heel turns, which is kind of funny, I saw Shea Weber got flipped yesterday, who I did not realize was still playing in the National Hockey League. He got flipped from the Utah Hockey Club to our rival, Chicago Blackhawks. What a heel turn. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's probably not going to play for the Blackhawks.
Not at all. I'm trying to think, how many more years is on his contract?
I think he's borderline retired without retiring.
Well, no, he's on that long-term IR or something like that, right? Or I forget what it's called, but the text line could help me out with that.
I mean,
totally
he's
forgetting.
Done.
Oh, yeah, he's been done. It's been done for the longest time now.
Unnamed texter has the answer to our heel question. JBL.
There it is.
John Bradshaw Layfield. There you go. That's a good answer.
I could go for a nice 5-gallon bucket hat. That'd be nice. Cowboy hat. You know, his little white cowboy hat he had, JBL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I could go for something like that.
His theme song often gets stuck in my head because it's like Southern Texas. You hear the cowbells.
Coming out in the big old limo. Yes.
I always think of Wall Street when I hear his walkout song.
Oh, because like the Wall Street
bells? Yeah, the Wall Street bell.
Yeah.
2011, sense. Boston Bruins won the cup. Okay. That's right.
I'm about to say, they won in like the 2000, like mid 2010s.
How old was I?
But recently, it was the President's Cup in 2022, 2023?
2 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought, yeah. I knew my colors in my brain were kind of running. There we go.
Thank you, Joel, on our text line for pointing that out. Joel, you are the man. Can you tell we're young?
Can you tell my brain's still waking up? How about that?
we're still rocking, but it's early. Nick Frazier, I don't know if you know this. You're in charge of our question of the day today.
Yes, thank you. I've been thinking about this for a while now. If you had to go up against one animal that you had to fight with your bare hands and you could win, what is that one animal? If you could go out there and fight one animal, a bear, a dog.
Say dog.
Not a dog.
That makes me sad.
A bear, maybe a giant wolf.
This is how we measure your feats of strength here.
Yeah, I
just say like penguin, we're calling you a coward.
I'm just curious. If you had to go up against one-on-one against any animal and you had to defeat it with your bare hands, what's that one animal?
Okay. Maybe the most out there question of the day we've ever had, but
yeah, but you know what? It gets people thinking.
Yeah. I'm sure Neil Down will have an answer for
Frazier
that.
Making these wheels turn early.
You got it. That's how I'm going to get my head rolling today. It's spinning. The gears are going. Put a little grease on it.
How long have you been thinking about this question of the day?
I'd say a good month. I've been sitting on this one for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm curious.
Did you have a dream last night or something?
You know what? This is funny you say this. I had a dream Tuesday night. I don't know why I remember this vividly, but my buddy Trey, one of my best friends, I was talking to him last night. I was like, listen, if you go to McDonald's, don't eat the fries. Just whatever you do, don't eat the fries. He got sick on these fries. And so now I had a dream about it. And when we were leaving, we saw a bunch of like animals running across the street. Again, I don't know what kind of dream this was, but we're going to go with it. And that's what cued this whole entire question of the day. It rekindled this idea that I had. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay. Question of the day, what animal can you fight with your bare hands and win? You can answer it on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership where the buzz is always about great service. Forrest Company, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier. I'm forgetting Jake Wellman's name behind the glass. Coming up next, a weird week for the NFL, especially for the Titans. Harold Landry released, and an interesting tweet put out by a potential number one pick. That's up next. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's Shaboozy. I wonder what song he's going to sing. Maybe that one song. Hey, tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville today for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders take on the FIU Panthers at the Murphy Center. Tip-off is at 2 p.m. with the pregame beginning at 1:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at thetotallyhitsnashville.com. I believe it's senior day over there as well. 9 seniors on MTSU. Some of them can come back thanks to Diego Pavia. We were just talking about, well, I kind of teased in the segment. Weird week in the NFL, especially for the Titans. Harold Landry released. I believe that saves them $10 million in salary cap, which is pretty good. But now you need someone to hit the quarterback. I don't think you have that. Weird tweet posted by Abdul Carter, potential number one pick. Obviously, I can't read it, but it's just a smiley face emoji and the number one. Does that mean he thinks he's going number one because Harold Landry is released? Because I think there's a few different ways the Titans could go with the number one pick, and maybe he's one of them, but I don't know.
As much as I want to say yes, I'm not buying all into the Abdul Carter thing. Obviously, everybody knows on this station, I was big on the Abdul Carter. You're going to get Abdul Carter, draft him, and call it a day, right?
Yep.
Well, when I called last weekend, and, you know, I was listening to y'all's show. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
And, you know, Jake Lyman's on to something. He talked about St. Patrick's Day deadline. If they don't make a decision by then, trading back, so forth, it's going to be Cam Ward.
Yeah.
And the more and more that this plays out and lingers, along with the Abdul Carter foot injury, however you want to describe it as, I don't want to take a chance on that. Thinking about it, I do not want to take a chance on it. And like, if I do take a chance on that, I'm cool with it being like in the later rounds. Like, that's what you do. You take a chance on somebody to do that coming back from an injury in the later rounds, not in the first round. Sure, he's a first round talent, but we all know what happens when that when someone says they're a first round talent or gets categorized as a first round talent
and then gets hurt.
Because then their stock ends up dropping. And they're losing lots of money from it as well.
Yeah.
So, like, that's how you got to look at this. It's for him, he's looking at it as the stock market. He's the one dictating his own stock. Unfortunately, his stock has dwindled down, and he's trying to build it right back up.
Yeah. I don't think there's a sure thing in this draft.
Okay.
But I think I'm with Jake Lyman at this point. I think it's Cam Ward at one, or you trade down. Now, trading down, I think, is going to be a bit more difficult with what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders traded, I think it was a third-round pick.
Yes, for Geno.
To Seattle for Geno. Their quarterback situation is fixed, so they're obviously probably not going to take a quarterback in the draft. Seahawks now need a quarterback. Problem is, they're way lower in the draft than the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Would you risk trading down to Seattle when there's probably not a quarterback there?
I wouldn't mind trading back, but I don't know if you can trade back that far.
I think there's only one team you can trade back with right now.
And that is?
The New York Giants.
Yeah, 100%. The Giants are the only team you could probably trade back with. But thinking about that, it's if the Giants, if they're sold on Shedeur Sanders, then that's who you're going to go after.
Yeah.
You're going to get Cam Ward if they go after Shedeur Sanders. But the thing is, if you trade with them at one, more than likely, I don't know if they're going to go after Shedeur Sanders because Cam Ward's on
the
board.
Here's what I think. If you trade down with the Giants, you're not getting a quarterback because the Giants will trade up and take probably Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Browns probably want Cam Ward.
Right.
Although they love Shedeur Sanders as well. Chances are you're probably taking Abdul Carter at three. So I think if you're staying at one, you're probably going quarterback.
I mean, I could see the dominoes falling in the factor of if the Titans were to trade back with the Giants at three, and let's say they have hesitations on an Abdul Carter, trade out of that pick too. Because more than likely, you're going to get a first-round pick in 2026 as well from the whole – I know it's only two spots.
Oh, yeah, you've got to collect next.
So if you do that, you can collect another first-rounder maybe the year after or the year after that or whatever it may be. Maybe you don't want a first-round pick next year. Maybe it's – this year's first-round draft pick, obviously, and then maybe a couple seconds and thirds. I don't know. I really don't know what the market would be for something like that if you were to double up in trading a first-round top five in a roundabout way.
Yeah. Let's look at the other side of this. As far as Harold Landry,
Stadium Pulse,
is concerned, he probably goes to a contender.
Yeah.
where do you think he would fit in most?
Oh, I mean, there was obviously those murmurs at the trade deadline last season with the Lions. Obviously, when the Titans got shellacked.
That was my first
Detroit thought. Yeah. Maybe Detroit. I don't know. I can see somewhere out west. I mean, I would not hesitate to look at the Chargers because they got rid of Joey Bosa. They released him.
Yeah.
But because I was reading some stuff online, the Niners are interested in Joey Bosa. So having both Bosa brothers on each side would be kind of cool.
That'd be cool.
At the same time, the Chargers said the door's not fully shut on bringing back Bosa. So that might be something there. If Harold Landry decides to go out west, because everybody knows the out west money, it's not different, but yet he's going to be on a contending team. The Chargers, I think, in my opinion, are going to be a contending team.
Yeah.
They may not be a second, third round deep playoff team, but they're going to make the playoffs.
I was thinking about this last night. You're talking about a Harbaugh. I landed on the other Harbaugh.
Really?
Baltimore.
You think Baltimore would go after Harold Landry?
I think they love defense.
It's true.
They love guys that can hit the quarterback. Look at their history. Ray Lewis. Look at who they got now.
Terrell Suggs.
Yeah. I mean, he just speaks Baltimore to me. Baltimore, Detroit, I think, are the two. If I were to put together a hot board, I think that's where I would go.
I don't know. I could see somewhere out west. It's just off the beaten path. People just discount the Chargers because of their, you know, lack of attention when it comes to media. Everybody's all over Justin Herbert and the lack of wide receiver production. But defensively, I think that it fits them well. If they can find out a way to bring back Bosa and bring in Landry, the Chargers could be one of those top teams to be sneaky in that realm of the NFL.
The Chargers are going to be good. Yeah. I think they are a young receiver away from being legit.
I mean, they got Ladd McConkey. Ladd is the man.
He's the man. I think, man, if they try to crack into the top five
and get McMillan,
take Tet, they might be dangerous.
That might be the 1-2 punch everybody's been waiting on.
That might be the dark horse to happen in this draft because they've got the capital to move up.
Yeah.
They've got the pieces.
I like where your head's at, Connor. You think the right way.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying.
But
I see a world where it's a possibility.
It is.
There's teams out there, and young receivers are hard to come by, but similar to quarterback, you have a generational. I'm not saying Tet McMillan's generational.
Right.
You have a solid rookie receiver that has intangibles to be a good receiver in this league. I think everyone follows the Ja'Marr Chase model of take him.
Yeah.
The Bengals that year obviously needed offensive line help. They passed on Penei Sewell and took Ja'Marr Chase, and I think that's turned out pretty okay for them.
For the most part,
they may have, you know, he may just be like the best receiver in the league or something. I don't know.
Or of his class and generation, potentially. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe the best in the last, you know, 20 years or so.
Potentially.
Something like that.
I will say, back to the Harold Landry point, and TD had a good article about this, and he highlighted that Landry had 83.1% of the defensive snaps played last season, and that led all Titans linebackers. That, to me, is a little bit of an issue because you have a giant gap there that you now have to fill. And is that going to be like we talked about earlier, is that going to be an Abdul Carter?
Yeah. I look at all the holes that need to be filled on this team.
There are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them. Edge is probably like fifth on that list.
Yeah.
You need a right tackle first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You need a quarterback. I would get a young receiver to go with your quarterback.
Okay.
You need safety help. Then I would put edge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I have that same category there. I think edge is like top three for me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm all right with the offensive line. Let's put it this way. I'm going to rephrase that. I'm not okay with the offensive line currently, but I could hold off on that. I know that sounds nuts. I could hold off on that due to the fact that the Titans are already bad. Just solidify everything else besides the offensive line.
Yeah.
Because that's what they've been.
Listen, this team's not turning around in a year.
No.
I mean, I still think this is a 3-5 win team. If they add the pieces they're anticipated to add, I still think it's a 3-5 win team.
I say they're roughly 5-7. I go up a little category there for you. I wouldn't say 3-5. I'd say 5-7 probably.
Maybe I'm being super negative today. Maybe.
Well, I mean, it's
I'm usually the positive one on this show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've been a little pep in my step. I think it's the coffee that's in my body. Yeah. I don't know.
It's your Lenten fasting.
Yeah, sure.
You feel like a new man.
Yeah. It's brought a little more clarity to my brain a little bit. I don't know.
Well, I hope you have more clarity than the Tennessee Titans do, because it doesn't look like they know. Not that they don't know. I trust Borgonzi. I think he's going to be a good GM.
We'll see.
But the fans, for sure, do not have clarity on how this season is going to go.
Nashville fans in general getting restless.
The storm.
Quickly.
I mean, when it rains, it pours.
It sure does.
And it's pretty much hailing here in Nashville
right
now.
There's a dark cloud with thunder and lightning over this sports
town. We have Armageddon skies here in the Music City. Good conversation on the Titans. I didn't want to hit too much of it today because shortened show. Forgot to make that public announcement. Yes. We will be out of here by 10:30 to get you in time for Vanderbilt in Georgia men's basketball. So let's get into a little bit of SEC basketball coming up next. The last day of the regular season, the SEC tournament is headed our way next week. Who has the most momentum coming into the tournament? That's up next. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Forest Company is brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conniger. Patrick Conniger, thank you. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Connor Newt, alongside Nick Frazier. We got some... Adam Vingard would be so proud of you right now with this song.
Good Charlotte is a banger. They got some bangers.
This is like early 2000s emo punk.
I got some emo punk in my folder.
I can get
Jake
down with
Holman back there.
Look at him. I'm proud of him.
I got Blink 182.
Oh yeah.
Queued up in here.
Was never a big 182 guy, but I'm more of a 90s, 80s guy.
Yeah.
So I can get down with some of the early 2000s.
I'm cool with it. Good stuff, Walmart.
Thanks, man.
It's a nostalgia act for sure. Last day of the SEC regular season, fellas. Lots riding on this one. Some big matchups today, too. Alabama headed down to the jungle to take on Auburn. My Wildcats heading to Como to take on Mizzou. Locally, Vanderbilt taking on Georgia. That's a big one. That's an under-the-radar game. Georgia is playing their best ball right now, and they are a hard team to beat at home. I speak from experience. They beat Kentucky. They beat Florida at home.
Stegman is such a weird place to play.
It looks like a high school gym, but like
I know Tennessee goes in there and Tennessee struggles.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is not a friendly environment.
They have black magic there or something. It's like Jordan Hare, like just built on an Indian burial ground or something like that.
But don't discredit the Commodores.
No.
I'm just saying that's gonna be a tough game.
It's a weird place to play, and I think if Vanderbilt or if Georgia were to pull this one out, I could see Georgia getting one of those last four byes.
Really?
I think they're in their projected last four in right now. So they need this one bad.
Yeah.
Georgia's going to play with their lives on the line.
I mean, Vandy's been playing pretty hot their last three games against what? Top 25, right?
Vanderbilt seemingly plays invincible on Saturdays.
Ole Miss, they were 25 or 24 when they...
25, yeah.
Okay, when Vandy beat them, that's top 25 wins for Vandy the last three games.
Yeah. Well, they lost to Arkansas on Tuesday.
Well, minus that.
Yeah, we don't credit John Calipari.
3-1 after the last four. Not too bad at all.
Yeah. This is the best Vanderbilt team they've had in a long, long time. I think they're in no matter what, but they need to go in and win today. Because that'll solidify that resume editing into the SEC tournament.
You know, when Kentucky Wildcats came to Nashville and played the Commodores, the one person I mentioned that needed to be an X factor that game was Jason Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, that guy's been on a tear.
You think he listens? He listens to you?
I don't think he listens to me, but I think he listens to
you. He said, Nick Frazier says I got to be on it. I'm going to be on it.
I mean, I don't think it's me, but, you know, I think this game going into Georgia is going to be a little bit more for him because he's a Georgia guy. He's from Georgia. He's from Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
So I think he might have a big game against Georgia. That's just my gut. You know how my gut is.
If there's anything I've learned this season, it's that guys from the state of where they are playing, it means more for them. Kentucky went into Oklahoma this year, and things got personal. Otega Owe obviously played at Oklahoma. Brandon Garrison played at Oklahoma State. Jackson Robinson is from the state of Oklahoma, so that was a must-win for them. Things got personal. But beyond today, obviously the last day, Vols taking on South Carolina, I didn't really want to talk about that one because I think it's going to be a waxing. Mm-hmm. But who has the most momentum heading into Nashville on Wednesday?
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's not my Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. They've kind of fallen off the deep end as of late. I don't know. That's a good question, Connor. A&M, we've seen that they're frauds. From my opinion, I don't want to speak for you, but I think A&M are frauds. If I had to pick like a dark horse team that's got some momentum going for them, sure, they've lost three of their last four for the most part, but I think Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri might be one of those teams that you're going to have to watch out for, especially in the SEC tournament. They're teams that just flip a switch when it comes to conference tournament play. I don't know what it is, but they just hit a different gear. And I think Missouri is one of those teams. Missouri can find it deep in them that they can, you know, go the extra mile, meaning, you know, the next round or maybe even the championship. But I doubt it.
The SEC is just so deep this year. There's so many teams I can look at and say, oh, yeah.
500 conference, aren't they?
They got the potential.
I got a team for you guys.
The Braves?
No, not the Braves. Ole Miss.
Yeah. I've been thinking about Chris Beard.
I mean, you know, I saw a tweet or a post, whatever it's called now, from X.
Yeah.
It was the Chris Beard effect and how his teams just make that jump from year one to year two. And Ole Miss has some dudes on that team.
Yeah. And Malik Dia locally.
Yeah, Malik Dia locally. Jamin Brakefield, who came in and provided a huge spark against Tennessee the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that's a team you really don't want to catch in March. I saw the other night that they were projected as an 8 seed.
The dreaded 8 seed.
And I think they're a little bit better than that.
I'm on to you, Wallman. I'm on to you. Just because Tennessee loses to Ole Miss, you're going to signify that Ole Miss is a really good ball club.
I'm not saying
they're... To make it seem like Tennessee's not bad. I get where you're coming. I understand what's happening.
Ole Miss is a good ball club. Yeah. They blew Kentucky out, too.
I understand.
I'm not saying that they're really good. I just think
it's interesting that it happens, this comment, after Tennessee loses to Ole Miss. I'm just saying that the dots are lining up to certain things. Just want to put that out there.
I'm just saying that I think Ole Miss is a little bit better than people think. And yeah, I think as they come to Nashville, I think that's a team that you don't want to play right now. So yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
I don't think you want to play any team in the SEC right now unless it's South Carolina or LSU.
And I think that's a game that I mean, people are saying that, oh, you know, Tennessee's going to steamroll South Carolina. I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, there's something in the air where I'm not saying I don't like that matchup. I'm just saying, yeah, I think it's
really.
I think South Carolina has lost. I heard this stat the other night when they were playing Georgia. They have a handful of losses that combined to like 20 points.
Most of those at home.
Yes. Like, I mean,
and guess where the game is today?
Well, it's on the road. But,
exactly.
I mean, but I mean, let me tell you, Murray Boyles is he's a good player.
I watched South Carolina in person at Rupp Arena. That is not a good team.
I'm over here glancing at Connor. I'm like, wait a minute. Is he talking about South Carolina?
I'm like, what is this guy talking about?
Hey, I'm just...
Do you really think South Carolina's one of those sneaky teams?
I think it's more of a trap game.
Okay, that's fair. Now, that's a better way to say that.
Senior day. Way. You know, emotions are riding high. And some teams, you know, when it's senior day, you know, they're just on one where... You can't stop them.
You think South Carolina is one of those teams that can just spoil somebody's party at the SEC tournament?
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
I'll probably go watch them on Wednesday. I think it's $10 tickets.
Hey, there you go.
General admission too, so I can sit anywhere. If it's like the days of old with the SEC tournament, so
waltz right on in.
I'll be there. It's gonna be fun.
So, what is your dark horse team in this SEC tournament that you think could make it?
If I couldn't pick Ole Miss,
right.
I could see Missouri making a run.
Okay, that's fair.
Missouri seems to be, I mean, I could go the easy route and say, watch out for those Wildcats. They don't call it the Kentucky Invitational for nothing.
I was going to say Arkansas.
I mean, Mississippi State, I know they've fallen off the deep end, but
yeah. They've
got experience in the tournament. Josh Hubbard, I think, is a guy that comes up a lot during March. A&M, I think, is a sneaky team. They've kind of fallen off as of late, too, but... You know, Wade Taylor is a guy built for March. Vanderbilt, I think, is sneaky. There's so many teams.
Is it too overhyped, I guess, or overrated to say Alabama? For a team that could possibly go the distance?
I think they could go to distance.
I think they could play on Sunday, yeah.
I mean,
do they win? I don't know.
Alabama is similar to Kentucky, in my opinion, in that when they're shooting the way they should be shooting, they can beat anyone in the country. But when they're missing their shots, I mean,
and free throws too.
Free throws are a problem. They're at least they have rebounding, unlike Kentucky. But I mean, they got to put up 110 to beat you because they don't. Nate Oates doesn't believe in defense.
Yeah. But that guard they have, what's it, Sears?
Mark Sears.
I mean, puts up what almost 20 points a game.
He had 30, I think, last week in Tennessee.
He's a foul merchant, though. I mean, that guy has a whistle unlike any other guy I've ever seen. He gets the whistle of a 10-time NBA All-Star. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it should be exciting. Texas, I think, is kind of a sneaky team, too. Because Trey Johnson, granted, he's all they got. But when that dude turns up, no one is safe.
It seems like everything just means more.
I mean, this is the easy answer would be say Auburn is going in and winning the whole thing. But this is such an interesting tournament. I think every team, for the most part, give or take two or three, has the potential to win the whole thing. $20 tickets, you're saying? Okay. Where was I? Oh, every
Auburn.
Auburn. Every team has the potential to win. I think you could certainly see some dark horses make that semifinal.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Auburn not making the final.
Really?
I just something about it that it's happened in years past when Bruce Pearl has a really good team. They end up not doing well in the conference championship or conference tournament, excuse me, and they end up doing well in March Madness. I think that's kind of the realm they're going to go with this year. I don't know if it's because, I don't know, some bad juju happens in the SEC tournament, but I think they get upset by somebody.
I think it's low risk for them because they've locked up
that
number one overall seed. Like, that's going to them.
Mm-hmm.
My hot take is I don't think they're going to a Final Four.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think Bruce is a choker.
I think I'm with you on that just from based off. I mean, they better not get matched up with an Ivy League team.
Yale.
Watch out for that.
The Bulldogs are coming for you. Worry about Yale first. But yeah, I'm excited for next week. This is my heaven this month.
It's your Super Bowl.
I'm on spring break this week too, so I'll be watching every game intently. I wish it was next week so I could watch more basketball intently. Yeah. But don't worry, we won't go to class. up next, it's the greatest segment in all of radio.
Let it rip.
Let it rip. As it says on the grid, let it rip, Newt. Newt's Notes. Coming up next, where I have to introduce myself.
Get a little excited about it, a little pumped up about it, man.
Newt's Notes coming up next. Foo Fighters are here. We have a great show today. Live from New York this Saturday night. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The new United States champion, as of last night, L.A. Newt is back. Hey, tune into 102.5, 106.3, The Game today for Vanderbilt men's basketball as the Commodores take on Georgia with an 11 a.m. tip-off, and the pregame show starts at 10:30 a.m. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. We are taking you directly there. Shortened show today. We are done at 10:30. But now it's time for Newt's Notes.
Let's go.
As I introduce myself. Okay.
Talk to us.
I sent you guys a picture earlier this week. And I really just want to rant about this. There was a car in front of me on I-40, and it had not one, not two, but three teams on its plate, all in the college realm. The Ohio State Buckeyes, Florida Gators, and Tennessee Volunteers. Now, that is just, I wanted to rear-end that car so bad. I hope they got a flat. But when are we going to get to a point where people start listening to me and say, when I say you can only have one team? Like, it's ridiculous. The fact that you have Tennessee and Florida on the same bumper in the first place is just a cardinal sin. Like, that would be like if I had Ole Miss and Mississippi State on the same
plate. You can't do that.
It's
taboo.
That's one thing I don't understand. Quick tangent. Is, you know those license plate bumpers that say, like, house divided? And it'll have, like, Kentucky on one side and then Tennessee on the other. Why do they make those? You're encouraging it. It
makes no sense.
It makes no sense. But these people got to stop, man. This is an epidemic that's sweeping our nation, and it needs to stop right now. Root for one team and one team only. Be loyal.
Have people not gone on Amazon yet and bought the Newt's rule book of fandom?
Like, well, it hasn't been published. I need to get in contact with Big Joe over who his publisher is.
Okay. Again, you'll have your people call his people.
It may be Neil Down. I have to ask him.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's just, when are people going to start listening to me?
It makes, like...
Do I need to get on the station promos or something?
Like, make a PSA?
Will people start listening to me? I know we have the one ad where it's you. Tune into Forrest Company every Saturday. Where's mine? What? Why can't I get on here and be like, hey, by the way, you can only have one team. Stop cheering for rivals.
So, I have a question, because this is pretty common among fandoms. Does it have to be a rival? Like, you can't cheer for another rival? Like, a lot of people, like, you know, they'll be an Alabama football fan, but then they're a Duke basketball fan.
Banned.
Or a Kentucky basketball
banned.
Fan.
Banned. Absolutely banned.
No. Can't do that.
Can't do that? If you're an Alabama football fan, you have to be an Alabama basketball fan?
Yes. One.
That makes sense.
100%. I'm the prime example of that. I'm a Kentucky football fan. We suck. And I'm watching every game.
Bless his heart.
I'm wearing blue every game. I'm standing up for a touchdown. I'm getting
mad
excited.
Mad respect. Mm-hmm.
That was one thing my high school math teacher, my freshman year, I said, I'm a Kentucky fan. She said, oh, that means you must like Alabama football. I said, No, ma'am. I watch the Wildcats every Saturday, and I enjoy it. So, I'm young. People need to follow my example. Now, there are some exceptions. I've talked about this before. I'll root for Ole Miss on occasion. My grandfather played there, won a national title there.
Family ties are different.
I go to MTSU, so I'll root for them. I'm okay if you root for your alumni or your place of education, but don't let it overlap. That's another thing that drives me crazy is these people, it happens at MTSU, they get mad when you cheer for your primary team over them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not putting down MTSU. I love MTSU. I love the Blue Raiders. But I was born into the bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving that up.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. They're blue. You're wearing blue. It's even. Call it even.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
One time, Lightning made me take off of a UK pullover, and he threw it in the trash. I have it on video. I'll show you.
That deserves a ticket.
I mean, I should... This was a year ago, but Lightning threw my pullover in the trash.
It brings me to my point. Tickets on campus should be given to those that do this.
Yeah, I beat that case, by the way.
Did you?
For context, I got a parking ticket for $30 because my car is going through a bit of trouble. So it's fixed now. Yes. I fixed it. I had to take my dad's car the morning of. It was emergency. Forgot to grab my parking pass. They ticketed me the one day I forget my parking pass. So I appealed the court. I said, I'm not paying this. I'm not paying $30. It sounds like a low amount, but it's the moral standpoint.
Right.
Connor New is beating the court. So if anyone needs a lawyer, I'm here.
I would recommend. That's all I'm saying. I would recommend.
Adam in Portland on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if you're an Alabama football fan and a Duke basketball fan, you are the worst person I've ever met in my life. What a wild example.
It's like cheering for the Patriots.
I mean, have you ever watched The Middle?
No.
There was, okay.
The TV show The Middle?
Yeah.
I've seen one or two episodes. I'm not a dedicated watcher.
There was an episode where the son's girlfriend's dad, they're like a rich high class family. So they live in Indiana. They're all Colts fans. They go to the father-in-law's house, and the boyfriend's dad asks the girlfriend's dad, hey, you a Colts fan? And he says, yeah, I used to be, but then they started losing, so now I'm a Patriots fan. It's more fun throwing a Super Bowl party when you win every year.
Oh, so, that's a jab.
I was like, wow.
Could you imagine I'm thinking about it, not being a Titans fan?
Yeah.
Just picking another team.
Yeah. I've considered entering the portal, but then I realized loyalty is a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do that.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'm leaning closer and closer to it.
Right now, college basketball is all I got. Because the Preds are down. The Titans are down. The Cardinals are going to be down.
That's why I like rugby, too.
College football is down. I'll be okay in college baseball.
All my teams that I am fans of stink, except for the Broncos.
I also have wrestling, which is ever-changing.
My favorite wrestler's retired now, so I mean, just...
Who's your favorite?
It was The Undertaker.
Oh. Yeah. That was my first action figure ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine was... think Ric Flair or Triple H, one of the two.
Woo!
Yep.
You had the suit action figure? Good job, man.
Indeed.
Good job. Well, let's get into our question of the day coming up next, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
Question of the day, as a reminder, what... I can't even get it out because this is the weirdest one we've ever had.
It's great.
What animal do you think you could beat with your bare hands? Nick Frazier wants to know. That's up next. Forest
Take
Company 102.5, 106.3 The Game.